Yes, it's Health Naturally on 2NURFM. Amanda McCreed with you, and I'm joined by our herbalist, Dennis Stewart. Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hello, Amanda. Nice to be back with you.
Lovely to see you. Now, Dennis, a few weeks ago, you gave some simple advice on safe natural remedies you've found useful in helping resist the seasonal problem of hay fever. Mm-hmm. Today, you want to go over the advice you gave and then say something about sinusitis, particularly chronic sinusitis, and you want to talk about the two most useful herbs for resisting sinusitis.
Exactly. There's a lot of interest shown in my initial discussion on helping manage hay fever at this time of the year. So I thought we'd touch on that again today, just simply going over the couple of remedies that I mentioned, and then look finally at things we can do to address an associated condition known as sinusitis with herbs in particular for addressing the chronic condition that many people suffer from. We'll look at two very, very useful remedies for sinus, which are the backbone of my herbal medicine treatment for that condition.
Now, we just had a lady call up. She didn't want to go on air, but she's got a pregnant daughter about 6-7 weeks who has morning sickness and dizziness, and she vomits at least once a day and she's turned off food. Is there anything that you can do or recommend, Dennis?
Yes, look, this is obviously a very common condition associated with the pregnancy. But very unpleasant. In many cases, it will exhaust itself, but in the interlude, it could be very, very stressful for the woman experiencing it. One always has to be cautious about treating anything in early pregnancy, but fortunately, there is a remedy that is not well known, but exceedingly safe, and in our profession, very, very highly recommended for this condition. I don't think I've mentioned the remedy on my program before, Amanda, but the remedy is known as black horehound. Now, I better elaborate on that. There are a couple of species of horehound. White horehound is popularly used as a cough remedy, a very effective one as well. Black horehound, known as Bellota nigra, that's its botanical name, has multiple benefits, but one of them is that of an anti-nauseant. And in our reliable literature, and I'm emphasising that because this is just not something off the cuff, our reliable literature, the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, for instance, calls it up very confidently as an anti-nauseant, as useful for vomiting, and my prescribing it over many years, 30, 40 years, for women with this problem has seen the condition in most cases subside, lessen, until it takes its course. Now, the problem with black horehound is that it is not a popular herb. So the young lady would have to source the herb from a practicing herbalist, seek out your own area to see if there is a herbalist in the area or a compounding pharmacy that may in fact have a herbal dispensary. Black horehound, taken in the recommended dose of the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, let me emphasise, has proven to be a useful remedy in many cases of morning sickness. I can recommend it. It may not work in all cases, but by jet works in many cases.
So what about ginger? Because I find I've got nausea, that ginger helps me as well.
Ginger's a useful anti-nauseant. I've usually found that ginger is for things like travel sickness and that level of nausea, and I worry about it a little bit in as much that ginger is a hot herb. Mm-hmm. And because it is a very hot herb and a very spicy herb, it has the potential, in my opinion, to be potentially not useful for someone in early pregnancy, where its effect on circulation might have something adverse associated with early pregnancy. Now, that's just my thought on it. In our profession, herbs with certain characteristics are veered away from. And one of them was where you have herbs that have a very warming characteristic, they are known to affect blood flow, and I'm always cautious about prescribing hot, spicy herbs to women in their early pregnancy, whereas black horehound has no hot or cold characteristics. It just has a harmless chemistry, which has given it an ability, interestingly, to address nausea.
Oh, great advice.
And not only nausea associated with morning sickness, but I've even had patients using it beneficially over the years who have been having various chemotherapies, which have caused them a lot of nausea and occasional vomiting. There it's a very, very useful remedy. And I mentioned that for listeners who may be experiencing or having medical procedures where nausea is the issue and the vomiting as well. Discuss with your medical manager the possibility of using the herb black horehound, Bolotta nigra. They can Google it. In the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, it occurs. It's useful for that also.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, we've also got Susan from Brisbane on the line. Hi, Susan. You've got an ear blockage in one ear while you're sleeping.
That's right. I wake up with it, with one ear always seems to be blocked.
Susan, my first question would be, have you had the condition investigated?
A long time ago it did it, and I had the doctor actually sort of flushed my ear out, which seemed to work, but
yes.
And now it sort of started again. I wonder whether I've got to do that again.
Well, look,
or if there was something.
If you've had benefit from your GP previously, obviously that is something to think about, but it looks to me as if you are experiencing what old terminology would refer to as eustachian tube catarrh, which means a build-up of congestion or fluid in the eustachian tube, which is interfering with your hearing and gives the sense of creating blocking. Now, in that context, herbs have had a good reputation if it is that condition, eustachian tube catarrh. And the herbs that one immediately thinks about for that, one of them would be the herb golden seal. Now, golden seal is an American herb, and next to echinacea is probably the most famous of the American selection. I could not practice without using a golden seal. It's such an important remedy, and it is used for all congestive, mucousy, catarrhal conditions, particularly in the upper respiratory tract. You would get it from some of your good health food stores in Brisbane or from one of your good herbalists in Brisbane, and you have many of them. I would suggest if you're wanting to try something, give it a period of time. Go and get hold of some capsules of golden seal and give it a trial for a couple of weeks. If it's going to do anything, there should be some indication of benefit within that period of time. If not, well, then retreat and undergo the therapy that you had previously,
that
your GP gave. There's a
use alternative before I go to the doctor, and I haven't sort of come across anything like with my pets or my horses and my dog. If they ever had any problems with their ears, I would use pawpaw.
Yes.
And then with anything like when my children were young, if they had any earache, I used oil and pepper.
Yes, I understand that.
Yep, but I weren't sure about this because it really does feel like an ear, nose, throat sort of thing. It feels like it's a thick liquid in the ear. That's what it feels like to me.
That term catarrh is not popularly used these days, but it's basically a mucousy congestive build-up, which could be behind this. But on the other hand, also, it could be that you have a lot of wax in your ear, and it might be worthwhile using the old procedure of a couple of drops of warm olive oil into the ear. We always did that with our kids when they had problems, and that helped. But it sounds to me as if it's more likely to be a catarrhal condition, and that's where one of the remedies of benefit is Golden Seal.
I will definitely try that. Thank you so much, Dennis.
Thank you, Susan.
Now, Dennis, you mentioned a useful, simple approach to prepare for the allergic seasonal onset of hay fever. Could you go over that information?
Yes, look, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago a combination of herbs. I'll go over it again now, but what I'm putting forward is that people that regularly experience at this time of the year allergic rhinitis, as is the technical name for it, or hay fever as we call it, can frequently help themselves and prepare for the season by going on to a combination of a bioflavonoid called quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, particularly in combination with an enzyme called bromelain, which is extracted from the pineapple. Now, that preparation of quercetin and bromelain is a very effective way of lessening the allergic reaction that precipitates some of the symptoms of this condition. And it's basically structured around our understanding of what quercetin does. Quercetin is a bioflavonoid. And let me just explain to listeners that there are many bioflavonoids. Bioflavonoids are natural substances. They occur particularly in fruits. For instance, oranges, the colour of the orange indicates the presence of a particular bioflavonoid. Various bioflavonoids have various properties. For instance, the bilberry or the blueberry has a bioflavonoid in it called an anthocyanidin, which is useful for addressing some eye conditions, particularly glare problems. Very, very effective in helping maintain a good eye function. It is unique for that. The bioflavonoid called rutin, R-U-T-I-N, which is used a lot for peripheral circulatory problems, promoting it. It's also useful as a supplement dealing with vascular conditions, even hemorrhoidal conditions. But quercetin has a useful activity in that it functions not as a conventional antihistamine, but its action in the system as a bioflavonoid, complex as it is, tends to lessen the sensitivity of people to severe allergic reactions. For instance, people that experience hives or urticaria sometimes get benefit by using quercetin, which has this ability to address the allergic tendency. That's probably a better way of looking at it. It's not an antihistamine, but what it tends to do is improve the person's resistance to the challenge of allergenicity. That's the best that I could say about it, but any patient that has at this time of the year or knows they're going to experience at this time of the year this wretched condition of hay fever with the running nose and a lot of sneezing, the use of that bioflavonoid, quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, in combination with bromelain. Now, the point I'm making about this is that the literature indicates and supports the idea that quercetin can't really do its job well unless it is compounded or taken in conjunction with the bromelain enzyme, bromelain from the pineapple. I'll talk a little bit about it later in the context of sinusitis. But the two of those usually come together in an encapsulated form, easily procured from our health food stores or pharmacies or herbal medicine practices. I would be suggesting that if people, even at this stage, are starting to experience the indication that they're drifting towards reacting as they normally would at this time of the year to allergic rhinitis or hay fever, a good starting base to try to lessen the onset and lessen its severity would be to start taking that combination. At least if you're going to use it, make sure the pharmacist or the health food store proprietor gives you a preparation that would have about 500 milligrams potential of quercetin in it with bromelain in order to give you a good level that has the potential to do what I'm talking about now, lessening the reactivity of the mucous membrane of the sinuses, the nasal passages, not as an antihistamine. Antihistamines are useful, but what I'm talking about is perhaps using a pre-seasonal approach that may lessen the need to reach out for the antihistamine. That's the point that I'm making here. Quercetin, bromelain, easily procured from a compounding pharmacist, from a herbalist or a good health food store, taken as a preparation to offset the possibility of a severe episode of hay fever.
Andrew, from Belmont South, you've got an issue with gastroparalysis.
Paralysis. Hello.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Dennis. Mate, my partner, I'm ringing on her behalf. She's been diagnosed with gastroparesis. She's seen a gastroenterologist.
Yes.
They are struggling to give her anything from the mainstream medical realm except a Botox operation on the nerves in her stomach. It won't empty, and it's causing extreme pain. And they basically got nothing, no answers when we're deeply frustrated about the subject. And I was wondering if the herbal realm has got anything. And she's bloated, she's in agony, and they're just shaking their hands and they've got nothing. Would you suggest anything that would empty the stomach, basically? The nerves from the vagus nerve have been possibly damaged by a viral infection, which has led to this.
Yes.
You know, she keeps saying 10 out of 10, and this lady can take pain. So it's one of them.
How long has she been struggling? How long has she been struggling with it, Andrew?
Six weeks, but it's getting worse. I've talked to a professor, and he's like, they had a gastroenterologist meeting, when they all talk to each other about, and they throwing their hands up in the air, what do we do with patients with gastroparesis? And I didn't even know it existed, but I do now.
Look,
and the pain is off the charts.
Look, I don't doubt that this is a serious condition, and who am I to be seen to say anything that would be better than what might have been said by the specialists in the profession. I can only make a few recommendations, but these recommendations should be run past those that are managing.
I understand.
Okay.
You don't want to be pinned back onto you about this one, but mate,
okay.
where at which end?
I understand. Look, one of the things that I would recommend, and it might sound rather simple, but in European continental herbal medicine, some of the literature talks fairly significantly about the potential of using the herb chamomile as a relaxant, as a relaxant remedy for the whole of the gastrointestinal tract. It's used to particularly cover spasm and constriction, a very safe herb, and I prescribe it a lot. Most people have the idea that, chamomile, you only use that to give it to kids to get them to sleep. Well, that's a very superficial understanding of a very useful herb to normalise aspects of the gastrointestinal tract. It's harmless. It can be taken as a herbal tea, a warm herbal tea, particularly used, say, with some honey. That's a very useful thing to do.
What kind of doses would you recommend? Is it through tea or some other?
I'm just throwing this in here as something that she can try. It might be entirely useless, but it's not going to hurt her.
Mate, we're at a point where anything is.
Well, what you would do is you'd go to a pharmacy or even to a supermarket and get hold of some tea bags of chamomile.
Yes.
There's plenty of them. Try to get one that has a European label on it, because chamomile is very big in European medicine and natural medicine in particular. Tea bag would make an adequate cup of chamomile tea. The other herb that comes into mind is the herb lemon balm. Now, lemon balm also has gastrointestinal ramifications. It is considered to be a relaxant for the gastrointestinal tract. It's also readily available as in a simple form. There are two remedies that might be useful to bring into the equation. Also talk to the medical people about the possibility of digestive enzymes as being useful.
Her stomach tells her that she's full and she hasn't eaten for 2 days.
Yes, yes. Well, this
it's like the nerves to the from the vagus nerve to the stomach, the muscles won't engage. They won't push the food through, and okay. So could you say those two things again? And
just chamomile tea and lemon balm. And now look,
lemon balm and chamomile.
And chamomile tea to start with, lemon balm tea to follow up. They're harmless. They're probably not going to do very much at all. But the thing about it is, she's desperate.
She's desperate because opioids aren't even blocking the pain. That's where we're at.
Dear.
I know, and they've got no kind of set format how to deal with it. And it's like, really? Like, you know, she doesn't want to have pain relief, but it's at a point where
she's got to use it.
Half an hour ago, she said, I can't keep living like this. You know, it's that intense. Anyway, I'll let you go, and thank you for your advice.
Well, see how you go with it.
Righto, mate.
Look, I really sympathise with your dear lady, and I wish I could be more helpful. But even just taking the chamomile tea may have some soothing effect and some beneficial effect. We don't know, but it's worthwhile, in my opinion, giving it a go. Nothing else seems to be doing anything.
Good luck, Andrew. Thanks for your call. Next on the line we have Pauline from Gilliston Heights. Hi, Pauline.
Hello.
Hello, Pauline.
Hi. Hello. I was born with osteoporosis.
Yes.
And it's in the family. And
yes.
Also diabetes. So I'm not insulin dependent, though.
You're type 2, are you?
Type 2.
Okay.
Yeah, and my daughter is type 1, but I'm type 2.
Okay.
So I think because of my nursing, I've learned what not to eat in some respects. So what I would like to ask you, mm-hmm. I'd like to come and see you because you're in Cessnock, aren't you?
Yes, once a month.
Yeah, once a month. Okay, because I'd like to come make an appointment. But in the meantime, can you recommend any tissue sorts that can help with osteoporosis?
You're being managed for it now by your doctor, are you?
I see John Hunter.
Yes.
And he's, I've asked him to check how much inflammation is there in the blood, because it gets really painful. I can feel it through the shin bones. I've got it in my toes, in the joints of my toes, in my hip.
Are you talking about osteoarthritis or osteoporosis?
I've got both.
Okay. The symptoms you talk about would seem to be symptoms more associated with osteoarthritis. And if that is the situation, I would virtually be obliged to say that the material that is used today, particularly chondroitin and glucosamine, have a pretty good reputation for...
I've been taking those two.
Okay. Have you been taking them for long?
About 2 months.
Okay. Everything that I read on using glucosamine in particular suggests that you're not going to experience very much benefit until you've been on it at least 3 months.
Oh, really?
So you've only just started, and you must make sure that you're taking around about 1,500 milligrams of glucosamine in the preparation that you're using. So check that with your pharmacist to make sure that you're actually taking a preparation. It would probably have that because it would be required, I would think, from the regulatory authorities to have that sort of dosage potential in it to do that. So if you're not doing that, you're letting yourself down. The other thing, and I'm a great, great fan of this, is the New Zealand green lip mussel. Now, that is still, in my opinion, terribly underrated, and yet it gives some outstanding results, particularly when in combination with the glucosamine and chondroitin. So when you see your pharmacist or health food store, stock up on some of the New Zealand green lip mussel. There are various brands, and take it, in my opinion, in conjunction with your glucosamine and chondroitin.
Okay. And we've got Annie on the line. Annie, you've got a burn on your arm from methylated spirits. That sounds nasty.
Yes, I do. I was yesterday trying to burn off a palm tree to stop it from regrowing because it's regrowing a lot. And unfortunately, it was not blown out when I went to put more on, and I jumped and it spilled onto my arm while it was still alight, and I have a pretty serious burn down around my forearm.
Andy, what I'm obliged to say is if you have a serious burn, you must have it medically looked at.
Yeah.
Because the burn could become infected and you could end up in real problems. You should... If it's really a nasty and serious burn, as you seem to imply, you should really present pretty promptly either to your GP or to the hospital to get it looked at. It would be wrong for me to suggest that you use some honey on it, which is a useful remedy for some levels of simple burns, but yours is not that. And also it would be wrong for me to suggest to use aloe vera gel, which is useful for trivial burns. But if you've got a serious burn, you get some medical attention and do it promptly before you're in problems.
Yeah, I've had my friend who is a nurse dress it, and I'm going up to my GP this afternoon.
I'm happy about that. Always remember, our GPs are a first line of contact in any condition. And therefore I have no problems in suggesting you make a beeline for it because I've seen some nasty burns. You get there before it becomes complicated.
Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering if there was anything that would help with the healing at all.
Oh, look, once you get it checked out, once your doctor has looked at it and made decisions on it, there are a couple of things, and honey ointment is useful. As are preparations of aloe vera. But let me emphasise, they are not remedies to be used for primary serious burns.
Okay.
Thank you, Annie.
Good luck, Annie. Just quickly, Dennis, because we've only got 2 minutes left, had a question about vertigo. Can you recommend anything for vertigo?
Look, there is a remedy that, again, I've mentioned occasionally, which has helped quite a few people. And that is the English herb known as wood betony, W-O-O-D, wood betony, B-E-T-O-N-Y. Unfortunately, it's not a herb that is easily procured. A herbalist would have it. It is a herb that needs to be persevered with. I had a remarkable and beautiful response from a patient recently who has taken it for some time and for the first time for many, many years, is relatively free of the condition. Now, I'm not saying this is the cure for vertigo. That would be silly. But there's a remedy in the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, which is our Bible, known as wood betony, and one of its indications is for vertigo. And in my prescribing over the years, I have found that in some cases it lives up to its reputation.
Okay, thank you. Now, we've got 1 minute left. Do you want to quickly say anything about sinusitis and hay fever?
With reference to sinusitis, let me just say that the two remedies which are foundational, in my opinion, for treating chronic sinusitis, and that is patients that go from one episode to another, who go from one antibiotic to another, whose condition asserts itself so regularly that's a recurrent condition. I'm not talking about an episode that is occasional, that's managed well with mainstream medicine. I'm talking about a chronic recurrent condition. They're the two herbs that need to be put together, golden seal, which I spoke about earlier, and the herb echinacea, the two pillars of Western herbalism derived from the American system, golden seal and echinacea.
You did well, Dennis.
Good. I'm
you
pleased.
You did well. Thank you. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.